This is Real Women, Celebrating Women in Independent Film. My name's Brenda Daly, and I am here today with actor Raf Adame. Been an actor for a while here in Las Vegas. He's been doing some wonderful stuff. I personally watched him grow as an actor over the last couple of years, and I feel like he's truly, truly passionate about it. Very interested in anything that is acting related. How are you, Raf?
I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast, Brenda.
Oh, thanks for being on it. I really do appreciate it. So today, Raf and I are going to talk about, actually, Raf, if you don't mind, I wanted to ask you, at what age did you start acting?
Well, I started acting when I was living in California and I was 24 years old.
Oh, great.
And I had just gotten my life together because I was heavily involved in drinking and drugs. And so I, at that time, decided to make a change, and I did. And so when I did that, just a whole bunch of things opened up for me. And one of them was I signed up to become an extra. I had some friends that were in the movie business that wanted to become extras. And so we would go to the Larry Sanders Show for shows. And so we would go, and one day we just decided, they decided that they were going to get in. And so I continued to bug them about it. And I ended up signing up as an extra at the age of 24. And I was a part of like three movies when I was in LA.
Oh, wow. That's good. So hiatus off of it, and then you came back at it?
I did. I took a big hiatus. I did the three background movies as an extra. And then I didn't do anything until I moved to Las Vegas 2001, but I didn't start to get into the acting scene until like around 2015, when the Jason Bourne folks came in to do their thing here in Las Vegas. And so
you got on that project?
Yeah, I signed up. They were looking for drivers on the strip to use your vehicle. And so I signed up. I went and I checked it out. And lo and behold, I got into the movie and I was an extra for like a couple of weeks and got to experience what it was like being on set. Got to see what it was like seeing real directors doing scenes over and over and over and over again, you know, until they got it right. I mean, until they were comfortable with it. But yeah, I did that and it's been great ever since.
Recently, even in the last year, even during COVID, it seems like you've been getting a lot more like lead work in short films. You've been doing a lot more commercials. I feel like you're just kind of coming into your own.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because my first job, what I do for a living, I'm a writer and I love what I do. I've been doing writing for over 20 years, but I took the acting thing as a hobby, and it's become something that's just, I'm just really having a lot of fun with it. I've taken acting lessons and I took it to the next level. You know, as you know, I was a part of, you know, getting together on Monday nights and being part of a group of actors that would commit to getting together. And then that dissolved because of COVID. And during the COVID time, got a chance to connect with another acting coach that kind of really showed me the ropes even further. And that's where I'm at now. And, you know, so you take, you get more opportunities as you go along. People start noticing you, I guess. I don't know. It's a great feeling. It really is.
I think too, you know, the more you do it, somebody posted on Facebook the other day about small parts. And it's like, there really is no small parts, because you might be taking a one-liner or doing a background job one day, but because people like having you on set, or they just like the way you delivered your line, or there's just something about knowing the person that you're working with, so that when you're doing a bigger project, you feel much more comfortable as just asking them as opposed to making them have to audition, which auditions are great because it's performance. But I feel like out here, especially with such a small community, we just kind of, we all really know each other really well. And that's an advantage.
Yes, it is. And, you know, you learn a lot. And I agree with you. You know, sometimes I fret and like, you know, I wonder, why don't I get those big parts? Why don't I get those big roles that everybody else gets, you know? And when you become a good actor, when you start realizing that it's the performance that you put on that really matters, and it could be a small role. It's what you bring to the table for that. You know, if it's going to be a few minutes, a few seconds, you got to bring it, and that's your spotlight, and that's your opportunity. And exactly what you stated, it doesn't matter if it's a big role or not. You can have a big role and be absolutely lousy in it, and you can have a small role and be absolutely amazing.
Well, and that's the other thing is we're all different types. Like, you know, we all have to kind of sit in our own type. It's not something, of course, we want to play other characters, but based on your age and then, of course, you know, what your ethnicity is. I mean, there's a lot of factors going into what your type is. And especially Hollywood's very big about keeping everybody in their type. So I know me personally, I mean, there would be very few and far between parts for somebody in my age group in my type. So I think that, you know, if as long as you stay in your lane, like for me personally, I've just kind of grown to accept that. And I kind of like a smaller part because I get to be on set and I don't have so much weight on my shoulder. I can just enjoy doing the character, breaking down my character, and just do my best work in that small amount of time. And then I get to move on to the next project because it's not laying all over my shoulders.
Right. And as you move on from project to project, you know, the small community that we do have here in Las Vegas, you get to see which directors you really, really feel are really deserving of the title director. You know, there's a lot of directors out there that.
Well, I think too, you know, in the small community, especially when you're working in independent film, it's like, really, if you're working an independent film on a next to no budget, nobody is a professional at that point. Everybody's just working to get to the next level. And if you do have great actors on your set as a director, that you got to have to feed off of them. As a director, yes, you have the last and final say, but I know me personally as a director, I always ask questions and I listen to what people say. And then I weed out what I think will work and what won't work, because I never want to be, I'm not the smartest person in the room. I don't believe in that. I believe that your product is good because of who you've cast in it and who you've worked with. And you get better we all get better together is my philosophy.
Correct. And I agree with you 100%. And what I meant to say was that there are directors that are out there that will not take the time to do the homework that a director like when you set up a shot, you go location scouting and you do all the things that you do as a director. I'm sure that you're doing your homework and figuring out what shots you're going to get and angles and everything. And I love that about a director. That tells me and shows me that they have their act together and they really know what they're doing. Now, when you have a director that comes in and they don't do that homework and they're just like thinking, okay, well, I'll just put the camera here and see how that you could tell that that's what they're doing. They're not doing it for composition. In other words, you know what I'm saying?
And yeah, so I think though, basically a director leans on their DP for composition. So
right.
The DP really needs to know what the composition is. I mean, if you're the DP, that is absolutely your job. It's the director's job to tell the DP what their vision is. And then of course, you know, and then of course the shot list, but most of the time, like I know personally, like every shot list I've ever made has always been thrown out the window because I like to play. So it just depends on the director. It doesn't mean that they're a bad director. It just means that they could be playing. I think there are some directors are just they're totalitarian governments. I think it just depends on what style. So there might just be directors that you don't like their style.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, but what I'm saying is that when I see a director doing the same mistake over and over again, and they've been out there on the field for a few years and they're still not expanding their horizons on the scenes that they're creating, it kind of makes you wonder, why are they still stuck on that mode and why haven't they grown out of it?
Acting and everything else that we do, I think you had actually hit a big point when you said that, you know, you're continuing your education as an actor, you're going to another coach, because as actors, we always have to be in class as directors. If you think you know everything about everything, then you're probably not going to be the greatest director, because you're not willing to go back and learn. And I think that this is an industry where you're constantly going back and learning. And you're right, we should all learn from our mistakes. It doesn't mean that what they've done is bad in the past. It just means that it could have been so much better, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's your point, is like their quality of film isn't rising.
It's frustrating when you see the same mistake. But, you know, moving on from that, I think Las Vegas has a great set of directors out here, and it's just really, really great to see what we have as a community coming around, especially with what Ben's doing in the 777 Film Challenge. I think that's fantastic what he's doing, to bring it upon himself and to have the commitment and the love that he has, the passion that he has for the actors here in Las Vegas. What would we do without Ben, you know?
I think that it was him and Jeremy Settles. And so I feel like, you know, and of course I've been very lucky to be picked for that. But I also feel like it was such a genius move. I mean, this was two smart guys who got together and put this together. I know they didn't make their total for their first 30 days, but they still raised like $30,000.
Yeah, they're at 60% right now. So
right. And the thing is that when they got started, it was such a good idea that I think that people were like, they thought this could never happen, especially in Vegas. I mean, when you think about it, they were, you know, we all doubt. Now that, you know, Joe Lujan's getting ready to shoot and he's already cast, I think people are starting to see these things are going to happen because they're actually seeing it right before their eyes. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about social media, is you literally, this thing is happening right before everybody's eyes. And it's genius. It really is. Like, my hat's off to them.
Yeah, and I, my apologies for not mentioning Jeremy, because he's been part of this thing as well. But
he's a very quiet dude.
Yes, both of them. and I have no doubt. I had no doubt in my mind when I saw and I still don't have any doubt that we'll have $80,000 raised before this is all set, and probably even more than that. But without Ben's enthusiasm that he has, you know, the silliness that he brings, the hats that he brings, and just the love that he has for all of us is my hat's off to him.
Well, I think too, Ben is the perfect guy for this. Like, Jeremy was so smart to say, hey, we should do this together, because he is the perfect, I mean, he literally is the perfect guy. Ben has got that great attitude, and he does love the film community. And I think I met Jeremy one time. I mean, like, where he and I, it was just a one-on-one, and I feel like he felt the same way about the film community, but we all have been kind of cliquish. And so this was really them thinking that they could get us all together. And I think it's really working.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I, and once again, I'm looking forward to being a part of it. You know, I've known Ben since I started this journey. I met him, and, you know, I remember wanting to be a part of the acting scene, and I've been helping him out ever since. You know, I help him set up the red carpet whenever they have a premiere, and I just love being there with him, and I just can't wait. I cannot wait for this all to come to fruition. And I think it's going to be a big thing for Las Vegas.
Yeah, I really do. I know there's some great filmmakers in there. I feel kind of a little bit like the underdog, but I'm going to rise to the occasion. And I feel like with Ben and Jeremy's guidance, and then all the other filmmakers are really like, you know, we're asking each other about locations and, you know, scripts and just everything. So it's become its own little community. And I don't think I knew Deborah Richards, Dale Nevins, Drew Marvick, or Joe Lujan very well. So for me, it's been very interesting, and I feel like we've become this little family.
Yeah.
So that's always nice.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I don't see you as the underdog at all, or the what did you say?
We're imposters.
Yeah, I think they made the right choices, and I think that every director is going to come out with a great movie. So
I do too. I actually really looking forward to the whole event. So anyways, let's get back to Wrath of Dahme, because that's why we're really here. I want to know is, what have you learned about life through your journey of acting?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because everything is so politically correct these days, you know, and I'm not going to say that I haven't or didn't have issues coming into the acting world, but, you know, you do have a little few stumbles here and there, and gives you an opportunity to reflect and grow and kind of like understand, okay, I don't ever want to make that mistake again. You know, and I'm talking about minor things on set, things that you have to know as an actor, things that you need to carry with you to be pleasant, to be nice to everyone, because people remember all that, and be able to help out on set. I mean, I used to come on set and I used to not even want to be a part of any of that. That wasn't my job. But now that I'm really loving the acting, I really like what's going on behind the scenes, and I want to learn, be a part of that as well, you know? And so,
I mean, especially out here, in order to be part of all of that, yeah, you do kind of have to pitch in. And I think pitching in really gives you an understanding of what everybody else's job is. So right. I don't think it's bad. And you being a writer too, I feel like, you know, you're just a few steps away from that screenplay that you're going to want to make, especially, and the more you know about who does what on set, the more you'll be able to go that direction in the future.
Yeah. You know, that's funny that you said that, but wow. Yeah, I know. I've got to really, I take baby steps. You know, I was telling my director friend when I was on set earlier today that I could really see him growing as a director. And I think he's done an amazing job just by seeing him, you know, and seeing what he does on set. But, you know, it's a small community. You're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You're going to need to apologize left and right. But most importantly, you need to learn and you need to grow and you need to remember the mistakes that you made so that you don't make those mistakes again, so that you can continue on this journey. Because what happens is that people look at you and that one little small mistake, you know, they make a big issue out of it. And it could be a detriment for you. But as long as you live your life as a good person and you try your best as an actor and you have a good attitude, the good attitude and really putting forth that effort as an actor, when you come on set, that is really the most important mark that you want to leave on set.
I think too, that because we are a smaller community, of course, you know, we're like a little small town, people talk, but at the end of the day, I feel like we're a very forgiving community. We all have, maybe not every day on set's going to be a great day for all of us. So we all have to kind of like, I don't understand how you do all of this. And it's like, you know what? I just try to stay in my lane, you know, and try to understand why this happened, because I'll go through stuff and sometimes we bring it to set and we probably did, and we need to learn not to do that, but it's not always going to be, you know, sunshine and flowers, and it's just life.
Exactly. Exactly. And you're absolutely right. There's days when you feel absolutely confident, and then when you get up there, you're nervous, but you know, you just got to be, and one of the great things that I've learned that I didn't know before is you got to shake it off.
Yeah.
I mean, if you feel that stress coming, if you feel that sweatiness coming on your forehead, you know, you got to take a minute and just say, okay, give me a second. And you step back and you just kind of shake your whole, you know, your shoulders, you know, rub a little bit of that stress off, shake your hands and your legs. And boom, just like that stress will leave you just like that. And you're back to your normal self. And then you can reset the whole thing again, you know?
Yeah, I think being an actor is a very highly stressful situation, because you're always putting yourself on the line. You're always putting yourself out there. sometimes you do a good audition, sometimes you do a terrible one. And sometimes people don't want to work with you because you've done one terrible audition. But I think overall, most of these filmmakers out here have been actors, so they kind of get it.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I've had auditions with directors, and I know that I bombed, and I've sent auditions to those same directors again this year in 2021, and those directors are like, Raph, we need to talk.
Well, that's good, but they've seen you grow, you know, also. I think, you know, and that's what we are. You know, we're like any industry. We're just trying to learn and grow. And I think that that's the biggest, hardest thing to understand. A lot of people think, oh, I can just wing it as an actor. Well, we're always winging it as actors, but it's a lot better to be prepared to wing it well.
Acting lessons were the last thing on my mind. And 5 years later, there's no way that you can be, unless you are really a natural born actor with natural born acting skills, there is no way that you can go through this without learning your skill as an actor. And
I don't believe that there's such thing as natural born
acting skills. I don't either.
I believe that you could be a good basic actor, like just because you're comfortable with yourself and you kind of understand your body and you understand things, but you're not going to get, nobody who's never had an acting lesson is going to get on set unless they are a specific type that nobody else is and that movie needs you, and then they will train you to do it right. There's no such people who are naturally great in front of a camera. There are people, but they, you know, if they don't know anything about eye lines, if they don't know anything about, you know, where your mark is, if they don't know anything about interacting with other actors and then feeding off each other, if they don't know those things, their performance is going to suck.
Right. And one of the best things for me, you know, I used to come in not knowing the direction of the scene, where it was going, what the motivations were, what the character types were, what's the key line, what are the beginning, middle, and endings of these scenes, and I mean the whys, the who's the protagonist, the antagonist. And now I know all these things. I can break down a scene and I can figure out exactly where it's going to head and what direct, you know, where the direction that it's heading, and figure out what the motivations of the characters, especially the one that I'm playing. And so my confidence is way, there's no way that I could be an actor without knowing that I have these skills now. Now that I know that I have these skills, my confidence level is like over 100%.
Right. And that's great. I mean, that's fantastic. But even as an actor, it's kind of like a muscle. Like I used to train as a vocalist for 7 years. And the thing is that if you don't use it, you lose it. So even if you take time off and then you go back to it, it's not that you can't pick it up quickly, but you are going to have to like readjust your mindset so that you can go back and break down those scenes. I know, right. I personally missed class. I don't know what we're going to do about that. I can't, you know, the online thing is not going to work for me. One of those things by going to class. My question to you is, If you were talking to your former self who hadn't taken any acting classes, but you really wanted to get involved, what would your first piece of advice be to a new actor?
I'm involved in acting classes 4 to 5 times out of the week, believe it or not. And I've been doing that steadily for the last year. But what I recommend to a new actor that comes onto the set for the first time, you know, the headshot thing is extremely important. And, you know, going out there and taking the time to see what acting coaches are out there and doing a free audit, because most of these coaches will allow you to sit in, you know, take the time to sit in and check out these acting coaches, because not all of them are going to be suited for your liking. And you may find the one that just hits it right on the spot and boom, you've got a marriage. And that coach, what I love about the coaches out here, my coach, once that he saw the dedication that I gave, the dedication that I put into my acting, he was willing to do whatever it takes to get me to that level. And that's what I love about my coaches. He wants to see his students succeed. And we can all feel that, you know? And so when you get that feeling, as a new actor coming in and you have that coach behind you telling you that you're going to do this, you're going to make it, you don't need anything else. With that motivation and with what he gave you is all you need to become the actor that you need to be.
Yep, absolutely. I totally agree with that. So is there like a specific woman that you have been watching since you were a child, or maybe it's your mom, I don't know, but what woman in film has really inspired you to be an actor?
There is one particular actress that comes into mind, and that is Jennifer Jason Leigh.
And what is that?
Jennifer Jason Leigh has been my favorite actress of all time.
And is there a reason why she's your favorite besides the fact that she's smoking hot?
I saw her in Mrs. Parker and The Vicious Circle. And I also saw her in, what's the name of that movie? Single White Female.
Oh, yeah.
And she was absolutely phenomenal because her natural abilities as an actress were just, I mean, especially the role that she played in the other movie, the first movie that I mentioned, she was very eccentric. It was a black and white movie. It was filmed it was supposed to be in the 1940s era. And she was a very eccentric, self-centered woman. But I mean, she played it just so, like, it was so easy for her, you know? And right. And she's always had these roles of the bad. I mean, the single white female was just a really lonely, sad picture of a woman that was wanting to be someone that she wasn't, and so jealous of somebody, and just the effort that she put, her everything that she gave into that movie, she played the character, she lived it. And it was, I've never seen an actress do what she does, because actresses don't really, I'm going to back that up a second. There are actresses that put a lot of effort, but she is the one that really stands out to me out of all the actresses.
She just makes it look effortless.
Yes.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. So in your opinion, do you think that it's the screenwriting or the actor that really makes a film for you? Like, what do you think is more important?
Gosh, it really has to be both. I mean, you got to have both. We were talking about this earlier, you know, quality. I mean, good, great movie. You got to have a good acting set. You got to have a good director, and you got to have good equipment. And without those three, then you're not ready. It's basically like saying, okay, if you're going to do a voiceover, you better have the recording studio and not send in the, you know, something that's going to have noise in the background. If you're going to do it, you got to do it right. And so that's what I'm saying.
Right. I feel like the professional actors, but honestly, they won't let anything be posted or anything without them making sure that it looks its absolute best.
Correct. And I'm not saying, you know, there's actors of all types in this world. There's actors that have taken acting lessons that haven't gotten many roles. And then there's actors that haven't taken any lessons at all and have gotten many roles. So
yeah, it's not about how many roles you get. It's about, you know, what kind of quality are you putting towards it?
Right. Correct.
So, I mean, some people do kind of fall into it naturally just because they have a good type and a good look. So the directors are willing to work a little bit harder with them.
Correct.
I know me personally, I'm always good with new people. I like working with people that don't have a ton of experience sometimes, because I can play with them a little bit as long as they're willing to. If they're not, then I would rather use somebody who's not quite as experienced if they're more willing to be on with the team than somebody who's like, well, I'm the best thing there is, because then you can't work with that at all.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, and that goes back to etiquette. One of the things that you certainly don't want people to, you know, and I'm very grateful and humbled, you know, and I love all of the actors that I work with in class. You know, I don't see any actors that don't, you know, we're all in there as a family together trying to make ourselves better. And you never don't want to perceive yourselves as being better than somebody else, because, you know, that's just a knockoff on you and it's not going to make, and I know somebody that did that. I know you've got acting abilities and you're a good actor. I believe that you need to be given a chance to act. I mean, I believe that every actor that's an actor that is a good actor deserves a chance to be on set.
Oh, sure. I agree with that. And let me ask you one question, and this is just for you personally, is if you were to like dream of your dream role, the one role that Raf Adame wanted to be, the kind of film, what would it be? Like, how would you cast yourself?
I would probably be, want to cast myself as a fugitive, mm-hmm. either a fugitive or the guy that's looking for the fugitive.
Oh, so you like the crime scene kind of cops and robbers kind of thing.
Yeah, but I'm also very intrigued by playing an attorney, a lawyer. I've played doctors before, but I would really love to play the role of an attorney, because I did a monologue just recently and it was based on being an attorney. It was a lawyer type when that was going on, and I was basically a lawyer presenting the case to the judges, and I really liked it. I love that power that you feel.
I feel like with you, Raf, that should be something you should write for yourself. Like, I know me personally, I'm really probably, I like comedy. So I basically wrote a series just for myself. And I feel like you could sit there where you could write yourself a series based on what you love and playing those characters. Because at the end of the day, and this is the Hollywood thing, is we always wait for Hollywood to pick us or other people to pick us. But you know, I'm at the point now, it's like, why don't I just pick myself?
I mean,
you really have to think, well, you're getting better as an actor and you're writing, and there's no reason why you can't pick yourself. People do it all the time. I'm basically at the time in my life where I'm not going to wait to get picked.
Well,
I think this works really well with you, Raf. I think you should just pick yourself.
Well, I appreciate that. And I love that. And I feel it's funny that you mentioned that. Like I said, I'm taking these baby steps. And when you go and you take these baby steps and then you start feeling a little bit more confident about yourself, and, you know, you start doing commercials and people are asking you, and then they're like, I mean, I did a commercial like a couple of weeks ago, and they treated those little things that you pick up on the way. They become a part of you and they open doors for you. Mm-hmm. Later on down, and that's what's happening, and I'm
for me, it's like I'm not gonna stop, and luckily for it's bad for you, get rid of the toxicity and then move forward, because I'm gonna do this by myself if that's what I have to do, or if other people want to go along with the ride, I will always treat them with love, compassion, and respect, and
for a lot of us here in Vegas that have gone through tough times, and things are going to happen for us here in 2021. I really believe in some great things.
Oh, absolutely. I think the whole town's going to do really well. I think Hollywood's coming back open. And so I think as a community, we're just going to get stronger. And I do believe that Jeremy and Ben's Lucky Sevens Film Challenge is going to just push everybody forward and let everybody know that we do have good directors here. We do have people that have good projects. And I think the other thing I really do like about the Lucky Sevens Film Challenge is that if you look at our movies, they're as diverse as we are.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's probably why we were all chosen.
Yeah.
You know, but I do believe Deborah Richards is going to come up with something incredible, though, honestly.
I'm sure she is.
Oh, my God. Yep. I'm really nice talking to you, Raf. And I'll have this up soon. So this is Brenda Daly, and I'm here with Raf Adame, and this is Real Women, Celebrating Women in Independent Film. And today we're not celebrating a woman, we're celebrating a man, and his name is Raf Adame.
Thank you for having me.